you, Jesus. We exalt you, God. Thank you, God, for that new song, You Rise Up Within Us. We do exalt you. We praise you. The Lamb upon the throne. Oh, Jesus, we bow before you in our hearts and our minds right now.
The very design and plan of God was that we were created to worship and to praise Him, to be in fellowship with Him. And fellowship doesn't come by walking in front of Him or behind Him, but side by side with Him. Intimate fellowship, intercourse with Him. That's what He desires. That's what we were designed for. Not for our purposes, but for the purpose of God. He desires our fellowship. We're classified by the Word of God as saints to Him. He calls us that, and that means His holy ones. Exalt Him today. He's worthy. There's not a person in this room that hasn't needed the hand of God at some time or other in their life, and that God has not come through and met the need, as He said in His Word. He's not a liar. He can't lie. He esteems His Word above His very name. We need to exalt Him today. We need to put ourselves aside and every thought about us and put our focus on Him and make Him the very highest place in our lives. That's what He desires. When we do that, the very confession that we make before service comes to pass in our lives, that we are what He says we are. We have what He says we have. And we have the ability to do all that He says we can do. Praise Him and exalt Him today. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You. We exalt You, Lord. We exalt You, Lord. Praise You. You're worthy, Lamb of God. You're worthy. mighty God.
Praise your Lord. We exalt you, Jesus.
Yes.
We exalt you, Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed to lift our voices to you, Father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Receive our worship. Receive our praise. As a gift offering, as a sacrifice offering, as a worship offering to you, Lord. We have everything to be thankful for.
Yes.
Nothing to regret.
Yes. Amen.
All the regret has been washed away, Lord.
Yes.
We thank
right.
you, Jesus.
You,
we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you that this is the day you made for us to worship and praise
yes.
you. We lift our voices to you, Lord.
Yes.
In the highest praise that we know how. Teach us better ways, Lord.
Yes.
We want to please you more. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the words. Thank you for your Spirit that's led us into this situation, this presence, your presence right now.
Yes.
Use it, Lord, for your kingdom, for your honor, to touch your people. Your presence, Lord, to touch your people. Holy Spirit of the living God, move right now.
Yes.
Touch hearts.
Yes.
Cause the sacrifice of praise to come out. We yearn to move into your presence through praise and worship, through the study of your word, Lord, but we can't do it like popsicles.
Yes.
You don't have anything to do with popsicles. You want a warm, breathing human being to lift up their voice to you and give you praise. And I volunteer, Lord.
Yes.
I volunteer this morning and I withhold nothing from you. You're my King. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I worship no other. I have no other gods before you. I refuse to let other people keep me from your presence, Lord. I lift and exalt you up in this place this morning. We're going to serve you this morning. We're going to serve your Word. We're going to serve your Spirit, Lord. Your Spirit is free to move in this place. We'll not have you hindered in this body. We will not have you hindered in this body, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. You have the highest place here. Our time is not the highest place. Our feeling or our embarrassment, our shyness will not take the highest place. You and you alone will worship. You and you alone will worship. You and you alone will worship and serve. You and you alone, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift our voice. I don't care if I'm the only one, Lord. I'm enough to please you. Hallelujah. I praise you this morning. My praise alone will bring your presence. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. My voice you gave to me, I give it back to you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll not be ashamed of you, Lord. I'll not be ashamed to worship you. I'll not be ashamed to serve you. I'll not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I understand by your word that you exalt those that exalt you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all wonders in all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived and died, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. Took the fall and thought of me, cruel. rejected and alone like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you, not only in our voices and our music, but in this tithe and offering that we give to you. We perceive and prophesy that what we put in today is the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to put in. We just believe that because we believe you and we believe your word. And in our obedience to the word, you promised to multiply us into abundance. And for that we receive it with thanksgiving. With a joyful heart we give to you, with a great view of the future, an exciting future, we give you thanks. Bless the offering, the gift, and the giver this morning. For that we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. One of the things that I know that worship does is it changes your eyesight. I know that some of you have felt what some people call buck fever, how it changes your eyesight and changes your breathing pattern, how you've been close to a car wreck or something frightened you, how it changes everything. The presence of God is supposed to do that. It's supposed to lift your gaze from your problems, which are facts, to the truth, which is far beyond your problems. Your eyesight is supposed to zoom out and you're supposed to see far into the future and the little things you don't see anymore. Does that make sense to you? Things can go on around you and you don't see them. And if you want to see little things, you have to focus very hard. Some of you that have never entered into that place of praise with God. You've been there at a Super Bowl. You've been there at a hunt or a fish. You need to learn what it's like. You need to go in. You need to stop being afraid. God requires it. You might as well just go ahead. He's going to keep at it until you give up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right, children, I guess you're to follow. While they're leaving, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus. Turn to Exodus. All right, Exodus chapter 20. If you'll remember, we're still walking through the statements of faith. I don't know how many there are going to be, but we're going to have plenty. Because we're going to have an opinion about everything. Based on God's opinion. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise for your word. Your word is everything. It's life and breath and future and health. Cover us. Fill us. Consume us with your presence and your word today. Use us for the furtherment. For that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to skip reading our statements of faith, except this morning we're going to start, but we're going to begin to talk about the Ten Commandments. Because I believe that in a lot of denominations, the Ten Commandments have become the No Commandments. In hardcore, really Bible-believing people, the Ten Commandments have become Two Commandments. And over the next, either today or the next Sunday or whatever, I'm going to show you that the Two Commandments became 1,000 commandments. They didn't become two. The Ten Commandments were law. They've never been changed. Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle has passed away. And I'm going to show you how Jesus just wrote a whole bunch more. All right. Let me read you the statement of faith. We believe that the Ten Commandments, they were the hand of God moving. You remember how the Ten Commandments were written? The hand of God, but it was the hand of God moving to restore and to keep in restoration the fellowship of God with man. That's why they were written. They weren't written by a bored dictator like our Congress that was looking for one more way to make revenue. They weren't written at the hand of lawyers to generate one more way to make revenue. It was written by a loving God to restore man and to keep man in restoration. And the fellow with God, with the fellowship of God, and with the fellowship of God with man. These are not suggestions. They're not even laws. But they are formulas for life, health, success in all of life. If they are not lived and they are not breathed, the disregard of these commandments are a formula for failure. It's like every covenant of God. It is a formula for success and failure. I'm going to get a little bit more bold now. When God writes a covenant or a commandment, they are a formula for success and failure. I want to tell you that I think the true definition of the kingdom of heaven includes hell. As any kingdom that is built includes a jail. Did you know that the city of Lakewood includes a jail? And you can think about it in all the good terms you want, but you don't build a city without a jail. It's amazing. You can go back in old mining towns. There wasn't 20 people. The first thing they built was a jail. Well, yeah, sometimes before, sometimes after. But truthfully, actually the first thing they built was an outhouse. But but a jail and a church were built about the same time. And a lot of times, unfortunately, the jail was built for the church members because they weren't following the formula. All right. I'm going to see how far I can get today. The commandments were built, A, they were written by the hand of God for the restoration of fallen man to restore him to fellowship. We remember that the blood cleansed the altar, fire purified, but even that was not enough. That still wasn't enough. God had to really just write some rules. He had to write them. Why? Come on, why don't we just... I always build you up. Why don't you tear yourself down just a little bit? Just for a moment. Why did God have to handwrite some rules? Because we weren't listening. We weren't listening to Him. We weren't fellowshipping with Him. I'll guarantee you that I could give a little assignment right here. And I could speak it once. I could speak it twice. And most of you would not hear what I said. You couldn't do it because you didn't write it down. The reason you get a piece of paper and a pencil when I speak is because you won't remember it if you don't write it down. God figured that out. These bunch of dummies, they don't listen, they don't hear. I'll write it. I want your fellowship. And if I've got to scratch it in a stone, that's what I'll do. He wrote the commandments for the maintaining of a garden walk with God. Not just the restoration, but the maintenance of the garden God. Walk with God. We lost it one time. He lost it one time. He wants it restored and He wants it maintained. And so He writes in there, don't do what you did last time. That's all the commandments were. Don't do what you did last time. He wrote them as a formula for success so that we could succeed in fellowship with God, succeed as a nation, succeed in and as a family, now and in the future. Succeed in gaining respect, and I'll show you all this in the Scripture. Succeed in power. Succeed in wealth, and succeed in health. We're going to find out it's the only way to succeed. It gives us life now with God, and forever with God. The breaking, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture, the breaking or disregard is failure and turmoil in all of your life. You break a commandment, you're assured of turmoil. Boom. Just that simple. No ifs, ands, or buts. If you base your life on the Word, this is the way it is. You'll have a lack of a walk with God if you break a commandment. You break a commandment and you think, oh, the blood of Jesus. But something happens. Something happens and you know it happens. And you can try to put it under a rug all you want to. But that thing that's happening is God's... You just hurt Him. And He withdraws. And then He reminds you of what He wrote. And you have to come back to what He wrote. He's not changing it. You know that when God wrote that, He didn't make an eraser? Anybody ever try to erase a stone? I'm being a little comical here, but I'm serious. He didn't just scratch it in the ground so the dust could blow it away. And He didn't just write it on your heart so that you would know. He wrote it in stone so that the world would know and it would not forget. The breaking of commandments assures you of hell. This morning we will begin a study of the 10 formulas of success. I will show you that they didn't pass away. I will show you they didn't become diluted. I don't know if I'll get all this done. They are still real for us today. They're as real as when God penned them with His hand. I want you to read with me Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And for us, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Now I want you to look at God as a parent, as a friend, as one that sees you heading for a cliff and trying to save your hide. Or maybe already over the cliff and try to pull you back. You shall have no other gods before me. If you look in your Bible, it's a little g. Because God knows who He is, and He knows there's no other. We just need to be that intelligent. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. Be very careful with things like this. Be careful. Don't let them become an image greater than God. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. For all those that like statues, where they're swinging from your mirror, over your door, or whatever, it says, no likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. You shall not bow down to them, or you shall not serve them. Christians, you don't bow to anybody. You don't bow to anything. You don't bow, no matter what the title, uniform, or position is. You don't bow to that. You don't bow to a priest, and you don't bow to a king. Isn't that what that says? You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You bow to any other thing, any other circumstance, and you create jealousy. Now look at this. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Well, nobody's saying about hate. Yeah. It means that if you bow to anything else, you hate God. You're not given a choice. This is not a vote. You don't curtsy. You don't succumb. You need to remember something. It's better dying standing up than bowing and getting God to hate you. I don't care if the name is King. I don't care what the name is. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care what it is. You don't bow. Not to poverty. Not to circumstances that would cause you to feel less than what you are or less than what God made you. You don't bow. You just don't bow. If you do, according to this word, you bring a curse on you and your children up to the third generation. Oh, I'm so afraid. There goes a curse on your children. Oh, I'm so worried. What are you bowing to? You're bowing to something other than the true word. You better know already. You better know. It's time for children to grow up and start knowing. But showing mercy to thousands. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, all of you that have bleeding hearts, let's direct them for a minute. All of you that are, who was it using the word the other day? Tender, touched, merciful, gracious, soft. Hey, this says if you really love thousands, you'll serve God because that'll cause His blessings to go on them. And you know what else? It means that you'll serve God even when there's tremendous temptation. When you bow to temptation, you hate God. When you stand up against it, you bring mercy to thousands. So let's be tough enough to bring mercy. Let's stop trying to be mercy because you'll never get there. Here's another one. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain. Jesus! Golly! Come on, let's clean up our act a little bit. Let's stop tippy-toeing and getting as close as we can. Let's get as far away from this one as we can. I was out on a job site yesterday and somebody was trying to put a piece of pipe over another piece of pipe on a dirt floor. And he's over there sticking his hands cleaning this out. He said, I gotta get this shit off of here. I said, if that's shit, what you got your hand in it for? Are you crazy? Are you stupid? Get your hand out of it. Clean it off with something else. Or leave it alone. Come on, we need to stand up for something. A few minutes later, let's do this just for the hell of it. I said, I don't do anything for the hell of it. We can do something for the heaven of it, but we're not doing nothing for the hell of it. Do you understand? I think that makes God proud to begin to stand up for something. By the way, we control the language. They don't. We set the standards. They don't. We don't fall into their garbage. Let's clean up our act. And if we got something to say to Jesus, let's don't do it by bywords. Let's speak to Him directly. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. All of you that have been just doing this out of habit, you are now, I have served you official notice. I read from the only authority in the entire world. You will not be held guiltless. And now you will answer if you do that. Another one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's somebody that didn't, and there's somebody that didn't, and there's somebody that didn't, and every empty chair represents somebody that didn't keep the Sabbath day holy. I'm getting tired of tippy-toeing around that subject. I didn't write it, and I'm not going to erase it. God said it. God wrote that in there. Doesn't it mean anything to anybody? Keep the Sabbath day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day of the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servants, nor your employees. Not even a stranger that comes within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's within them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He didn't just bless it, He hallowed it. He said, this is a holy day. And I got news for you. If it's good enough for Him, it better be good enough for us. Right. And if you don't think people aren't watching, you're mistaken. I was out on a job site yesterday and they decided that they were going to work today. They're going to keep working. We didn't finish, they're going to keep working. And the lady that's been here and is looking and is watching, she came over to me and she said, y'all going to work tomorrow? I said, y'all ain't. I said, they made a decision to work. They can do anything they want to, but this boy don't follow other people. I made a decision to do it the way God says, and I'm not going the way. They can do anything they want to. She said, I was wondering. Come on, they're watching. They're looking. The world wants some answers, and you got them. I keep telling you that. Now listen. The next one. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I'm not going to try to explain every one of these. We're going to go into them later. I would like to stay there for a while, but I won't. The correct version, if you've got a King James, scratch it out and write this in. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. The next one. You shall not commit adultery. Now I'm going to hit this again later just in case some people don't understand what that word means. I think I'm going to get just real graphic and tell you what it means. Since it seems like we've forgotten what that means. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Now remember, this is a good God talking to good people, telling them not to do this. This is good for you. You shall not bear false witness. I'm not too sure why the writers put in here against your neighbor. Which, that's everybody. So why did he put it in there? You shall not bear false witness. That's a good point. Did you know that every time that you come in here and you start telling me about how bad you are, physically, spiritually, financially, you are bearing false witness. I can't stay on these. I'll be back. Another one. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. That's everybody's wife. You shall not covet his male servant. That's for the women and the funny people. I want you to understand something. This is as plain against homosexuals as you can be. It covers men and women. Don't covet them. Simple enough, right? Don't covet his ox or his donkey in case you're a real pervert. Nor anything that's your neighbor's. Let me just sum this up real quick. Don't covet. Now, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read you some scriptures to back this up. And that's probably all we're going to have time to do today. Just read some scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Surely, that's not surely. That's surely. That means everybody in here needs to know this. I have taught you statutes and judgments. As sure, God is saying this, as sure as I am alive, I am real and I am God, I have taught you statutes and judgment, just as the Lord God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. In other words, wherever you're going, live on. All right. Therefore, be careful to observe them. Listen to this. For this is your wisdom. Everybody wants to be wise. I got your first formula. Obey the commandments. All of them. And it says, this is your wisdom and your understanding. And it's your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. I was amazed when I read that. The reason the church has no respect is they don't live it in the sight of everybody. They only live it in the church. It says, if the people need to know me, they need to understand, they need to have wisdom, you live it. You be wisdom, you be understanding in the sight of the people by obeying the Ten Commandments. We get wise, we make influence by obeying the Ten Commandments. In the sight of the peoples who will hear, by the way, only those that will hear will profit from this. Who will hear all these statutes today. Now listen to this. This is what happens when the people that are really looking see you obey the commandments. Here's what they say. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now I got news for you. We wave a flag, but our pledge says, in God we trust, on your money, on everything. One nation under God. And around the world, we're known as the nation. And if there's ever anybody that needs to be taken down, it's us. Why? Don't you understand? It's just pure old sheer jealousy. That's all it is. They're covet. They break the commandments of the Quran. You know, they have the same commandments in their Quran. When it says, thou shalt not murder, how do you explain what they do? If you know anybody that needs to hear that, get the tape. Tell them I said it. Give it to them, tell them I said it. Give them my phone number. I'll talk to them openly. And I'm not afraid. Because if I bow to fear, okay. Now listen. Surely, they say of us, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Next verse. If I can get that page to stay there. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it? This is still them talking about us. What nation has God so near to it? Listen to this. As the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him. He's near to us for whatever reason we call upon Him. They say that about us, if we obey the commandments. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments? Wow! As are in all this law which I set before you today. This is what they're going to say about you. What nation is so righteous? And they're not mocking. They're looking up. Your neighbors will look up to you. Your friends. And eventually your kids. Your grandkids. They might even get in trouble and call you for advice. If they think that you're getting some advice from God. Here's the warning. Only take heed to yourself. And diligently keep yourself. Lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. The commandments. Don't forget what you've seen. And lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children. And teach them to your grandchildren. Well, we just had another commandment added to the 10. Teach them. Don't ask your children. Teach them. Don't touch that. That's teaching your children. teach them. It doesn't say to suggest it to them 3 or 4 times a day. Teach your children. And when Cody threw my hat in the mud, he got a spat, did he not? And I shook him a little bit and said, don't you ever do it again. Connie says, you ain't going to make no friends that way. You're wrong. I just realized that was wrong. Not because you were wrong because you said it. It was against the law of God. This says that we get respect by doing that. Right. Teach them the laws of God. That little boy may remember that forever. If not, I'll do something else he'll remember forever. Because it's a command of God, not because I'm angry. Because it's a command of God. I'm telling you, what this is really saying is you don't just hold your life in your hands. You hold your children's and your grandchildren's life. And your obedience to the Ten Commandments are now the 11. And there's plenty more, by the way. They're going to be life to them. If curses will follow to the third generation, then how many go into the thousands that was referred to before? Just from walking in the will of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go down a little bit. I don't have time to read it all. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Anybody in here Israel? Okay, hear. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's 12. We got another one now. So now we don't have 10. We already stumbled across 12. I'm not even looking. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. By the way, Jesus said that in the New Testament too, didn't he? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. They shall be in your heart. They're not in your Bible. They're not written on your wall. They're not even on the school wall. They're in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Now we wonder why our schools are going down. They broke the 13th commandment. Go back to the 11th now. Teach them diligently to your children. Oh, but you might warp their little brain. Yeah. That's your job. Warp their brain. We're beginning to find out how you burn a CD, right? You want information on that CD brain? You burn it in. And if it don't take, you burn it again. And if it don't take, you burn it again until they get it right. That's your job. Teach them diligently. You shall teach them diligently to children and walk, and I'll get it right, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house. Whew. Well, I've been watching TV and I hear the commandments all the time. Broken. This says, all the time, talk about the commandments. When you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hands. And they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. How many have been in my house recently? You remember seeing anything on the walls? Refrigerator, the mirror, the kitchen walls, the office walls. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful city which you did not build. Now we've got who's at fault here. If you're not living large, you didn't build it. Well, how do I build it? 10 commandments. Write them on the wall. Teach them to your children. That's how we build it. Houses full of all good things, which you did not fill. I thought it was work. I thought we had to work hard. I thought we had to be smarter than the neighbor. That's not what it says. Write them on the doorpost. Live them. Talk them. And it says you'll live in houses that are full of all good things you did not fill. There's a lot of promises backing up the Ten Commandments. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. We could use a few more gas and oil wells, couldn't we? Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. 14th commandment. Don't forget where you came from. When you begin to live in a house that's full and you start having those oil and gas wells and all the food and all the joy you can have, don't forget how you got there because it can go away fast. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name. How many of you have taken oaths in His name? It commands you to do that. The 15th, take oaths in His name. I swear to you, God. I swear to you, Bill, by God. And we don't take it lightly because it becomes a covenant. You stand at the marriage altar and you make a covenant with your wife. I swear to you by God. And to your children, to your friends. It's important. You shall not go after other gods. Not even a Super Bowl God. These guys wanted to work on that project till 2. Because there's a Super Bowl God. I said, what's Super Bowl? What is Super Bowl? And what do you care? What interest do you have? You know, I dare for you to give me one reason why you care who wins today. If there is no reason, why do you even want to watch it? I'm not against watching the Super Bowl. I just want you to understand there's no good reason why you do that. And then you'll be all right watching it. As long as you know it's a total waste of time, then watch it. Well, you know, God lets us waste a little time once in a while. It's okay. I'm not trying to say don't watch it. I'm just saying sometimes you relax, you rest, you zombie. It's okay. But don't make it important. Oh, got to get home and see the Super Bowl. Why? They asked me if I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. I said, I'll probably quit preaching in time to watch it. Y'all know what time it starts? I heard a guy say it starts at 4 yesterday. I heard another guy said, 4:17. I looked at him, well, never mind. I wonder if he knew what time church started. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples. Don't go after the gods of the peoples. In other words, whatever the majority is going after, you can't go there. Don't even go there. Don't take it as a bondage. Don't take it as chains around you. Understand this is a formula for success.
Yes.
I am so glad that one thing I learned early is not to do what everybody else is doing.
Amen.
I feel so free in that. I can't explain to you how free I've always felt. In fact, what you look is you see the crowd going that way, you go that way. And what will happen is pretty soon they'll follow you.
That's right.
Or at least they'll wonder where you're going. Verse 15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Now, can I just hit you with a little something right quick? I wish God would get to destroying. I wish God would get to destroying. Because you need to understand something. Those that do not serve God are your enemy. They are not your friend. They're against you. They're not for you. This nation is such a dope sometimes. Well. That Muslim religion is not totally represented by terrorists. Well, then if it isn't, why don't you not call yourself a Muslim anymore? You ought to be ashamed of what went on. I'll guarantee you, I was raised in the Nazarene denomination. If they flew 2 jets into 2 towers, I wouldn't be a member anymore. I don't care what they believe. I'd start my own. But you wouldn't catch my name being a part of it anymore. But you see, you and I hold the wisdom in this area. They don't. Let's show them. Let's stand up for something. Let's say, no, I don't care what you call yourself. And I don't care who you think you serve. Here's what your Bible says. Even the Koran, thou shalt not murder. And I'm telling you, if my denomination, my belief murdered, I would change my name. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Not only His commandments, but His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you. There we just went into the 1,000 commandments, not the 10. Y'all been reading the Bible? Isn't there an awful lot of suggestions in there? It says, obey them all. And you shall do what is right. You shall do what is right. Get in the mirror and say, you shall do what's right. And good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Man, we got a promise. You do what's good, and it'll be well with you. That you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. They didn't take me up on it. How about you? Here's what'll happen when you do this. You're going to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Not because you spoke it, because the Lord spoke it. When your sons ask you, when your children ask you, when your friends ask you, when your crazy kinfolks ask you, in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you? Then you shall say to them, we were slaves, we were sinners, we were in bondage. The Lord brought us out with His mighty hand. I'm not taking credit. It isn't my hard work. It wasn't my accidental positioning. I was in the right place at the right time. If you want to know how I did it serving God. And if you want to be a success, you do it by serving God. That's what you tell your sons. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes. Great and severe. Great and severe. Great and severe. Now I'm telling you, on God's people's trek into the promised land, they got God, they saw God get tough. They saw the world try to get tough, and they saw God win. I like the Bible. I like God. This is fun. This is not dangerous. This is not even intimidating. This is fun. Oh, praise you, Lord. Then He brought us out from there, that He might bring us in. He brought us out, that He might bring us in. He didn't just bring us out. He brought us out so He could bring us in. That's what I've been telling you about the commandments, right? He's not just trying to put restraints on us. He's trying to bring us into fellowship, into prosperity, into health, into power, into respect. Scripture is fun. So fun. To give us the land of which He swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good way always, for our good always. He taught us to fear and obey for our good always. Does your Bible say that? Are you not following? For our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is today. What are these commandments about? For our good, so that He might preserve us. Then it will be righteousness for us. Then it will be righteousness for us. What a word. If we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us. Deuteronomy, flip over there to chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. By the way, for any of you that thought the Old Testament was law and the New Testament is promise, I just read you some tremendous promises out of the Old Testament. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 46. And He said to them, set your hearts on all these words. Set your hearts on all these words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children. Command your children. No, suggest to them, the psychologist. No, it says command them to be careful to observe all the words of this law. By the way, you cannot command your children until you first command you. For is it not a futile thing for you, because it is your life, and by this word you... For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life, and by this word you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. By the laws of God, obeying them, you prolong your life. Do you see that? Okay. I want you to flip over to Nehemiah and I'm going to say something to you. Nehemiah was given a command. Nehemiah chapter... where'd we go? 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. When Nehemiah was given the command to go rebuild the city, the safe city, the city where people that have done wrong can run in and be protected. The command that God gave us here. Here is what Nehemiah did. He put people to work quickly. Are y'all strategists? He took people to work. He put them to work quickly. As they came, He put them to work. And while they got busy with work, then you know what He did? He gathered them together. All in one group. And He said, I got something to remind you of. Look here. Nehemiah chapter 8. Verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding. On the first day of the seventh month, first day is the Sabbath. Then he read from it in the open square. He didn't read from it inside the church. He got up on something high and he yelled while he read. It was in front of the water gate. He read from morning until midday. You guys think we go long here. Their mornings when the sun came up. He read before the men. He read before the women. And those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Why did he do this? Because it was government. He was establishing government. Government is not built on one man and a bunch of hinties. Government is built on following and obeying the word of God. And he knew the only way this city was not going to be destroyed a second time was for him to establish the law. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The only strength that you and I have is obeying the Word of God. We can resist anything if we obey the Word of God. Nehemiah knew that, so he had the priest read the law of the book of Moses. Because he knew that's the way you build a strong city. Not with high walls. That's the way a safe city becomes a safe city. By people obeying the Word of God. Then no weapon that's formed against them will prosper. Not just quoting that scripture, it has to be backed by the covenant for it to work. And the covenant says, obey the commandments and no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. Now, I've got to get this finished or we're just going to do it. Well, the New Testament was entirely a restatement of the Ten Commandments. From front to back, the New Testament, all it did was reestablish the Ten Commandments. Jesus spoke it constantly because He would not break the Word. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus did not weaken them, as a lot of charismatic churches would have you believe. Jesus did not weaken the commandments. He added to them and strengthened them. And He showed us that all it takes is your life to obey them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think, Jesus said, your red letters in yours, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. We got denominations that believe that there's no more prophets after those that saw Jesus. Don't even think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fill full. I know, yours says fulfill, but I just changed it. Fill full. I want to fill you full of it. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from that law till all is filled full. Fulfilled. Can I just put my own little slant on that right quick? You cannot claim all the promises in the Bible until you have fulfilled the Ten Commandments. If you lie a little bit, if you stretch a little bit, if you steal a little bit, if you fool around a little bit, then don't come whining to me because your life is not filled full. The Bible says the only way you're going to get it is get straight. Straight enough. I heard Jesse Duplantis one time give a testimony about eating at a lady's house, a lady at a man's house. Big preacher was invited over. He was hungry, he dug in, and the stuff was nasty. It was no good. And he went, pushed it away. Don't you think that's good? He said, no, it's bad. It's really bad. And the man looked over there and said, for the first time in my life, I've met an honest man. He said, every other preacher that sat here has eaten this trash and talked about how good it was. And the man got saved because he ran his wife's food down. I'm telling you, the world is so hungry for truth, we cannot even believe how hungry it is. Wherefore, or whoever, therefore, breaks one of the least of these commandments. You know why it says the least of these commandments? Because you wouldn't have brought it, you wouldn't have broken it if you thought it was the most. So he's not talking about the big things, he's talking about the little things. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so. What does that mean? And that makes a good, that means I give you a good reason why I did it. But you don't understand the condition or the circumstances. Yeah, I do. I understand you're on your way to hell unless you change. When are we going to be so smart? I understand that you just spit in God's face. What part of this didn't you understand? Yeah, I know, but it was the heat of the moment. It was the emotion. It was the desire. It was I needed. It was I wanted. It was nobody was looking. It's really not that important. You just spit in God's face. And you know why the laws don't work anymore? Because the church has stopped teaching this. If you break one, you shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Boy, that's a rough formula. Hard to understand, isn't it? That's really hard. Anybody in here want to be called great? I got your formula. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You want Stan's translation? Unless you do a whole lot better in the New Testament than you did in the Old, you ain't going to make it. Scribes and Pharisees are from the Old Testament. Unless you do better than them, you ain't going to make it. Which tells me an awful lot of them are not going to make it. You're not going to worry about scribes and Pharisees up there. Or even Sadducees. They're not going to be there. They got caught up in the religion of the moment and they lost. It's a serious thing that we do today. It's a serious God that we serve. Not boring. Serious. Big difference. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That applies to women too. If you watch TV to see a man's firm butt, you're in trouble. If you've got a calendar on the wall, and it's no different than a man, you've got a calendar on the wall so you can drool, you're committing adultery. I don't care. I don't care what you think. It's the way it is. If you want a picture on the wall, get your wife, get your husband up there. And if you ain't drooling, you call those things that aren't as if they already are, and you begin to drool. Come on, prophesy. Prophesy. Make it happen. I have no problem in the world saying to my wife, you're the prettiest woman in the world. Because I've said it long enough, it is the absolute truth. I lie to you not. Nobody compares. My decision, according to the Word of God. Nobody else is a temptress. I make no room for that. What I want to point out to you in this Scripture is that this. Jesus referred to the Old Testament. And He said, but I'm adding to it. That's my point to you. Jesus said, you've heard it of old. I'm saying to you, and if you want to know how many times that's said, get your little computer up and look it up on your concordance. Jesus said, you've heard it of old, but I say to you. And He adds, I had it all down here, but it was like 20 pages. So I didn't think you wanted to sit that long. Matthew 5:37. I want you to, this is the one you ought to write on the wall until you get it down. Matthew 5:37. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Maybe is from the evil one. I'll try is from the evil one. Please don't is from the evil one. Please do is from the evil one. Well, maybe you can talk me into it is from the evil one. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. And anything else is from the evil one. Why must we do that? Why can't we be a little flexible? Because it's like a fire. It's hard to put out. You get something like that started and you just can't contain it. You can't contain it. It'll consume you. Matthew 5:44. But it's said of old. That's the way it starts off. And I'm going to read you the rest of it. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do not do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Gets out the gossip, don't it? Now, I want to go one step further. If you don't think Jesus didn't back up the Old Testament, or maybe you think that Jesus wasn't the Old Testament, if you don't think that Jesus wasn't specific in how we're to live and act, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus just added another commandment. He said, when you pray, you shall not act like the hypocrites. Now, can I suggest something to you? If your prayer doesn't look a lot like this, you're the hypocrite. For when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. I assuredly say to you, they have their reward. What's their reward? Standing and people seeing them. That's all the reward they're going to get. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. By the way, can I just make you stumble for a second? Who is your Father? Is it Jesus? We'll move on. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Where are you going to meet Him? In the secret place. Why do you think I want you to praise until you get to the secret place? You go where you haven't been before. You go where nobody else can go with you. You can't invite anybody into the secret place. It's a secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now that's another commandment. Now here's another one. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh Jesus, oh God, in the name of Him. And just go on for hours. And you whittle all that away and you got about three words out of it. Don't do beads. Don't do rosaries. Don't do Hail Marys. Don't do the things that man tells you to do. It doesn't work. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, don't be like them. For your Father knows the thing you have need for before you ask. Well, God, what do I need to pray for? Because I want you to come into the secret place. I want fellowship with you. I really don't want to hear all the babble. I already know about it. Just come in. Just come in. And instead of you telling me, I'm going to tell you. My presence is here. My word is here. And I'm going to fill you when you come into the secret place. In this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and man does not live by bread alone. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, in case you guys have argued with me about you have no way to forgive, it's against the law, here's the explanation right here. You are not allowed to forgive because the debt is not owed to you. The proof is, forgive us our debts. We're talking to God. I never borrowed any money from God. Did you, Harry? I never borrowed anything from God. Whatever He gave to me, He gave freely. So we're talking about those things that we create on this earth that we should not have created. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who... Okay? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, let's loose everybody. Let's turn them loose. And let's go to God. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is our prayers. This is our prayers, guys. This is our prayers. This is our prayers. We don't go to any man and ask for forgiveness. When we've caught ourselves when we're not supposed to be caught, when we're not supposed to be, when we have caught ourselves where we're not supposed to be, we go into the secret place and we say, forgive us, God. Amen. Anybody in here ever not break a commandment? Because if you raise your hand, then you just broke one. You're a liar. Everybody in here has broken a commandment. At least one. Some of you have worked very hard on all 10. And yet we have a secret place. Jesus commands us, go to the secret place and say, forgive us. Does it not? Matthew 6, and I'm getting close to being through. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break and steal. We got another commandment added. We already took care of idols. Now this is just making a very specific one. Don't let money or things be your idol. Build up treasure here. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Ooh, another commandment. I remember when Karen used to break a commandment of just about every day. Maybe 16, 20 times a day. She was always worried about something. Always afraid of this or afraid of that. The most specific time was when she got on the plane. She told me, she said, Stan, I used to have to get drunk for somebody to get me on the plane. Wiped out drunk. She said, I got my Bible now. Now, I don't care if you think that's a theologically correct statement. The Bible says don't be afraid. It doesn't say how you have to stop. Just don't be. Don't be. Don't worry about your life. What if the plane goes down? What if we crash? Next time we go to Cozumel, we just bury it right into the ground. I am in the presence of God. I have just achieved what I want to achieve. I'm in the secret place, and you better know that I'm there, and I'm not having a bad time. The Caribbean just got beautiful 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm in the secret place with God who created the Caribbean. Don't worry about me. Don't even shed a tear. You better dance. You better dance because I'm dancing. You're the fool if you don't dance with me. Let's move on. We could stop that for a while too. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Here is another commandment, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I tell you what, our commandments will be written on a daily basis. Why? Because God is not satisfied with the 10. It didn't get us enough success. He wants to write some more so we can be closer and more successful. Right? That's why the Holy Spirit was sent, to create more. Matthew 6, 33, 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, nobody wants to say, I can name it and claim it after they read this. They want to name it and claim it and not read this. It says you got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added there. Therefore, if you want to fight that or negate it, this is what you do. Worry! If you want to ruin all these things being added to you, worry about them. Worry about them if you want to defeat the blessings. Worry! Never get enough accomplished. Just always think I got to do a little more. Because the Bible, I just read to you, you didn't work for it anyway. I added it to you without your work.
That's right.
So worry. Lose sleep. Work till you're exhausted. If that's your idol, watch that idol pay you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is it in its own trouble. Matthew 22, and I'm through. Matthew 22. Now, if you think I can just read Matthew, well, you just start looking at Mark and Luke and John, and you look at all of them and see if Jesus don't talk new commandments in all of them. So please don't get lost by obeying the 10. Keep up. Keep up. The average is that our Congress passes 700 new laws a day, and you try to obey them all. No, lawyers don't. That's why they operate in precedence, not law. They don't have time to learn law, so they operate in precedence. Let's don't operate in precedence. Let's operate in the law of life. God promises that He'll write a new one on your heart every day. See, here's the cool part. It's like on my hard drive. I got a hard drive. When He writes it on there, I don't forget it. And if I do, there's this little error sign that comes up. It won't let me go there. Right? I got one. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He writes on there one more law, and then the error flag starts going up if I try to forget it. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, here's another commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Well, look in your Bible. That's not the first one. First didn't mean number one. It meant the most important. And the second is like it. Now what Jesus is trying to teach us is there's no number one and number two in importance. They're all the same. But for you, I got to explain here. Here's the most important, and here's one just as most important. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Can I tell you something? Maybe I should ask you this. How come we have so many prophets out there on 900 numbers? And ask Cleo. How come they're out there? And how come they can even survive? Why don't people laugh them and starve them out of existence? Because they don't know. They don't know, man. Somebody needs to tell them. Don't say they're not real. The devil always mimics the call and the miracles of God. Don't say they're not real. They are real. Just tell them. You're dangerous listening to that kind of nonsense. They may know that, but where'd they go to find it out? If it's from God, it's not tainted. But if it's from anywhere else, it's tainted. It's like downloading tainted emails. It's going to destroy your entire computer. Don't let it in. It's there, just don't take it in. We got tons of emails every day. You just go down, delete, 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 delete. Well, you didn't read them. Yeah, I did. Delete, 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 delete. I don't want them, I don't want them, I don't want them. 98% of everything hits on my screen, I delete. I don't need free credit cards. I don't need free credit checks. I don't need whatever it is they're selling. I don't need it. I don't need it. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm going to tell you, the only true prophet is one that obeys the commandments. That's what that's really saying. Are there other prophets out there? Oh man, there's prophets out there that can just, man, they can tell you what kind of underwear you got on. Just exactly what I need to know, right? They can tell you all about your history. They can tell the medicine that's in your pocket. Boy, don't I need to know that. Goosebumps. I'm impressed. Goosebumps, goosebumps, goosebumps. I don't need goosebumps. I need truth, man. You know, we need to get mature enough to look at a prophet and say, yeah. What are you saying from God? But you know, man, your left ear's got two holes in it. Come on, man. Tell me something I need to know. That's what I want to hear. Tell me something. Well, I see in your future. You're going to have 16 carloads. Oh, yeah? Really? You're going to be around? You're going to hang around here until it happens? Because if it don't, I'm coming after you. And if it does, I want to shake your hand. So don't hit and run. Don't want to hear the hit and run. Come on. If you're not obeying the commandments, I just assume you didn't talk to me. Because I may have to. God's working. And He's working for those that are hungry for His Word. Well, Stan, it feels more like He just beat me up. So be it. It's okay. It won't last forever. I promise you, if you're seeking to obey Him, you may feel like you're never going to crawl out of the pit, but you're on your way already. Don't worry about it. Don't give up. Don't worry about it. You let God, you let the Holy Spirit of the living God get after you as much as you need. That makes sense?
Yes.
Bring it on, God. I know it's not you that needs to change. It's me. It's me. So, do what you got to do. Because you know what? There was a lot of promises that had to do with our house and our money and our family. Did you see that as we read that? Why wouldn't I want to sacrifice a little to get that? It's all right if it hurts a little bit to get that. It hurts you every time you go out to get a paycheck, man. You get up in the morning, oh man, I don't want to do this. 5 more minutes, you'll argue with the clock. Clock doesn't do nothing to you. Just told you what time it was. That's our flesh. When God speaks, don't try to knock Him off 5 minutes. Don't hit the snooze button because your prosperity is waiting on it. Get up and go get it. How do I go get it? I just read. Seek first the kingdom of God, all His statutes, all His commandments, all His words. Just seek them. Well, what about all that crud that I've done in the past? You must have missed something here. What past? What past? Now, I want to warn you, I'm not trying to get charismatic on you here. Yeah, I am, really. Truly charismatic. Truly charismatic is drawing all men to Him. That's truly charismatic. Charisma is drawing people. Right? So we need to be charismatic. We need to draw people to Him. But you cannot go out here and sin every day and expect the Word of God to work. It won't. Well, I said it wrong. It will.
Yes.
It will. I promise you it will. It will work. You need to decide how you want it to work. Right? Do I want to fight my flesh and I want to tell it what to do, or do I want to let it tell me what to do? Do I want to let the Word of God tell me what to do, or do I want my flesh, the lying Word, to tell me what to do? Why? Well, you know what? If you can't remember the thing about pleasing God, making Him happy, remember that there's something in it for you. I would prefer that you remember God. But if you can't remember anything else, remember there's something in it for you. Make sense? I'm through. Till next Sunday. Next Sunday we're going to start taking the commandments apart. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I'm looking forward to it. Some of them may be real simple. I think God is not simple, so I'm looking forward to it. Because this is a statement of faith about commandments, we need to understand the commandments before we agree to it. Right? I'm firmly convinced that you should never agree to anything in the Bible. Now, I'm talking about after you're saved. After you're saved. Don't agree until you know what you're agreeing to. That you have some understanding there. Now, your first statement is, I'm yours, doesn't make any difference what. We all make that, and then we all blow it. And blow it, and blow it, and blow it, right? That's because we really didn't read the contract first. Now, let's just get busy reading the contract. I'm not backing up, by the way. You know that? There is no clause in the Bible that can cause me to go out of contract. I'm making that covenant to you in front of you. There's nothing in the Bible that I can run into that will cause me to say, I don't want anything more to do with it. It's not possible. Come on. It's not possible, Gene. Right?
Yeah.
It's not possible. Because I know God is for me and not against me. His thoughts about me are good. His writings about me are good. So I'm wrong if I think they're wrong. I'm wrong. I just need to get some understanding so that I can defend what I believe. Amen? Y'all stand with me. Are your hearts clear? Are your hearts clear this morning? Because if they're not, we need to get them cleared up. If they're not clear, there must be something you're not understanding. How do you like that statement? Because I didn't come this morning, and I know the Holy Spirit didn't come to confuse you. He came to clarify and to cleanse and to purify. Oh, what statement? This little stool is not bad. All hearts clear? Then I would ask you that the time that you've sat here this morning and the time that God refreshes your memory and reminds you of things that were said, that you don't hit the snooze button. Just deal with it right then. And you know what? If something hurts, let me give you a real good piece of advice. If God touches something that hurts, say, thank you, Jesus. Are you crazy? Stand and hurt. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It'll get you past the hurt. Thank you, Jesus. If you've got to spit in the devil's face real hard, I don't want to torque you too bad, but you can say, thank you, Jesus, for that time that I flubbed so that you can bring me to this place. When the devil throws up to you things that are insurmountable or unsurmountable, you know what I mean by that? They're impossible. You think they're impossible to forget or impossible to be forgiven. Thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for them. I didn't say thank you so you can do it again. That's dangerous. That's playing. That's crucifying Jesus one more time. Just thank Him for it. Car wrecks. Thank you, Lord. By the way, I don't want another one, but thank you anyway. I've had that helping. I'm learned. I'm trying my best to learn. I'd rather you teach me another way. Count it all joy. That's the only way you're going to get past them. All right. If our hearts are clear, then let's go do something else. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you for your visitation, your touch. Lord, I ask you to do one more time what you did way back there in the Old Testament, is write this upon our hearts this morning. Take your finger and write it upon our hearts. Write it upon our minds so we never forget. Teach us to talk about it over the dinner table. To confess it to our children, our grandchildren, our friends. Teach us to stand for something. To draw others to you. Teach us, Lord, that the world is not looking for another Bill Clinton. It's looking for somebody that can lead us into paths of righteousness. We need to stop thinking that the world wants to go to hell. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they want to go to heaven. They're looking for reasons. They're looking for leaders. They're looking for examples. God, we volunteer to be that in a world that's blind. We volunteer to be the sight, the light. We love you, Lord. God, I thank you I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that we feel you so much right here, right now. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Father. Love you, Holy Spirit. Lead us into paths of righteousness to help the thousands. Let us watch our tongues. Let us watch our lifestyles, knowing that we're reflecting our Lord and Savior. Teach us to love you as much as you love us. For these things we ask you and thank you in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done. It is finished. Amen. Praise the Lord.